Welcome to the Let's Talk Divots podcast. We are a podcast that covers women's professionals golf from people who walk inside the ropes. I'm one of your co-hosts, Casey Johnson and Caddy out there, and also joined by my good buddy, Ronnie Dunn, who does the luggage transportation, CEO Luggage Transportation. And Ronnie's also a super stroke rep out there, arc putting rep inside the ropes on the putting green with the ladies all week, every week. What's going on, Ronnie?
All week, every week. I don't know about that. It's been few and far between. I've had been on the soft cushion grass, but I'm looking forward to getting back out. The end of this month, I hope, fingers crossed, the Drive On Championship 3-day tournament in Ohio is on the schedule on a wet tissue piece of paper. I don't know. Hopefully it stands out and we can get out there and play something.
Wet tissue piece of paper is right, man. And I hear you. Again, we're just rehashing what we continue to talk about. I've got 2 weeks under my belt and not looking like I'm personally going to get 2 weeks in anytime soon. I know we chatted a couple weeks ago about getting back into Ohio, the back-to-back championships. I kind of let a little cat out of the bag there with the player caddy meeting, but it's official. That's where the start is. But I will, unlike you, not be making an appearance.
What's that? I thought you showed me some paperwork saying you're allowed into our country and you're all fired up and happy. What's the turn of events now?
First of all, you guys are all over the news. Like, what is going on down there with coronavirus? Like, from the rest of the world, it just looks like you're imploding. And, you know, we have like zero cases up here in Canada. But that aside, I'm not too concerned health-wise about the coronavirus. But I've got a quarantine for 2 weeks in order to come down there to work two events. Then, because we're not in the British or the Scottish, only 70 women from the LPGA will be getting into the Scottish top 70 or something like that. Then there's a ton of spots for LET, et cetera, et cetera. So we're not in those two events. So in order to come down to the US for 6 weeks, for 2 weeks of work, it just, I really want to do it. But it's a little bit of a tough sell at the moment, unfortunately. Because I can't. I'll finish that thought. Because I can't fly back to Canada. If I got to go down to the U.S. for 2 weeks quarantine, work 2 weeks, then if I come back to Canada, I'd just be sitting inside quarantining the whole time. So
How would you get down from Canada down here?
Well, I have special privileges to fly into the U.S., but not allowed to drive. So, again, I don't know who's making the rules here, but I'm coming from a place where we like have like 200 active cases right now, and it's far safer for me to drive my own vehicle across the border than to get on an airplane with anybody else. So, anyway, man, I don't know. That's where I'm standing right now. But anything changes on this wet piece of paper, right?
Well, that's Ohio. What about Canada? Are we going to be able to come visit your fine country, Canada, in about a month and a half?
So, I know the director of golf very well at Shaughnessy, where the Canadian Open will be played. Ashley Zebrick, a female, actually. Really, really great leader in our industry for a lot of years. So, I fired her an email to ask if I could come and play. It's a very exclusive private club, just to get a little groundwork done before the Canadian Open, and just kind of threw it out there. She came back to me and, you know, I threw out like a little fishing line, seeing if she was privy to any information. And she told me that a decision will be finalized on June 30th if they are going to decide to play the CP Women's. So we will know this week whether or not it's made public or not. Not sure.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. I'll be surprised if they allow us up there. I'll be surprised if the two tournaments in Europe go on. I mean, like you said, we don't follow rules down here. People are walking around, no masks, restaurants are open. They close the bars down again, I think, in some states. But each governor, which is 50 of them, they have the kind of say over their state. Some are open, some are closed. But California, we're bad. Florida is real bad. 7 states, I think, last week jumped in virus cases. So I'd be surprised if they opened us with welcome arms, unless we're in a little teeny bubble, one plane going to Europe.
Yeah, I really just simply don't see it. When I read that you guys are quarantining your own people from state to state, like, you know, if you come from a hot spot, you've got to isolate or quarantine or whatever the verbiage you want to use. So I just, I really don't see it happening. I don't see, especially our province, you know, similar to your states, very, very left wing NDP, which is like as hard left as it gets. And they've done a really good job. Public, you know, services is always high on that, those type of governance priority list. But I just don't see this person in charge, this doctor allowing something like that against, you know, the data. So who knows?
That's true. So the schedule fluctuates. It's in limbo as we speak. There is something on paper, but it's not very solid. We're going to start, what is it, July 30th or July 27th, end of next month. And that's the first three-day tournament in Ohio. Then they're supposed to stay in Ohio and try to keep people close to home so they can stay in the same beds. There's not that much interaction. And then after that, it's over to the pond if they go, but we'll see. So that's going to be a bummer. You're not going to show up there. Going to make things interesting. I'm not even sure if I'll be allowed there for the first tournament. I heard that the bubble is going to be so tight they're just going to try to check it out, and I'm not that tight, so I might be floating around just out in the middle of America hanging out.
As always with this wet paper napkin, brother, I mean, we can just all we can do is take it day by day. The situation for me might even change. I mean, I just don't know. Who knows what's going to happen, really? It's just, see, We said at the start of this podcast, this is episode 13, I was like, you know, maximum we're going to have to do before we're on tour is 10. So here we are, recording number 13, making a go of it and just adapting with our day-to-day.
That's exactly. There is a little golf going on, though. I know the KLPGA, the Korean Ladies Professional Golf Tour, has been playing for 5 weeks now, and a lot of our pros are over there. That's one tournament. There's a couple going on in the United States here, but they're at least competitive. People are getting some reps in and some rounds in, and they're making a paycheck. But the KLPGA, did you hear anything about that one?
Siyeon Ryu, of course, man, won the, I think it was the Kia host event. And I believe she was former number one in the world, was she not?
I believe she was. She's got two majors under her belt. She won the US Open and the KMPGA a few years back. She's was kind of injured last year and the year before, but yeah. Did you hear what she did with her paycheck?
I heard, man. Amazing. She donated the whole thing. COVID relief. Yeah. Around a couple hundred thousand US dollars. And from what I understand, it's not the first time she's done this sort of thing. So read, she gave her money from the bushfires in Australia, and a ton of philanthropy work over the years with what she's earned. So
yeah, big time giver, just like on the men's tour. You know, the golf is a number one donate. They donate the most money out of any sport. They don't even make the most money, but they're up to like, I think it's $3 billion they've donated over the course of the LPGA and PGA. That's
Every host week comes out with a new charity. It's not even a question. And I tell this to people all the time as a previous club pro, you know, like the impact that golf has on like communities and the country, you know, America, Canada, whatever, like any Western country where golf's prevalent, it's a huge employer. And all the charity events locally that go through, I'm sure you've been a part of them down in Carlsbad, you know, these shotgun 18 hole tournaments, is just, it's such an avenue and a stream for charitable funds. It's just, it's phenomenal. And golf goes so far with all that.
So far. But yeah, Soyoung Yoo gave away $200,000, her whole check, which is awesome for the COVID. But she said the night before she made the decision, called her mom and told her, because she did not want to, she thought she'd be able to play with less pressure. She's not playing for money or anything like that. And they don't really care about, they care about the money, but they want the trophy, the title. They want the legacy. They say they won that tournament. And so she felt the chip was off her shoulder. She went out and one bogey, one birdie. Rest were pars. Her and her partner, the next girl down, were all pars on the back nine. She came out victorious, and that was pretty cool to see. And then number one in the world, Jin Young Ko, she was in the tournament. She finished sixth. So it's good to see that she's getting her reps in too.
Yeah, I believe another quote was that Siyeon Ryu said, people are far too greedy. Which I loved, because I totally am on board with that. But clearly I have no idea about her background, and obviously she's a very selfless person, but comes from a position to be able to do that, which is phenomenal that, and she does choose to do all that. So the women are getting reps in on the KLPGA. I don't know how many are going to, you know, talking to my player Kelly about Ohio and just about which events she'd be in and et cetera. Like, I think a lot of the players from Asia, I know, like talking to Ryan Smith, Pavarisa, Yok Tuan's caddy, like she's not going to come over from Thailand probably because it's just the risk isn't worth it, for the same reason for my not coming, like 2 weeks, right? So I think there's going to be a lot of these Asian players that just hang out in Asia instead of coming over to play those two events in Ohio. I'm just going to be curious to see what the field depth actually turns out to be. I know that we have a caddy player meeting with the LPGA on July 8th. So stay tuned for some post details from that. And that's going to be the deadline as well for players to commit to those events. So we will know more information about the field depth, et cetera.
Well, I've seen a couple lists, and your Canadian friend, Brooke Henderson, is not in the first tournament. She is in the second one. Schmitty's boss, Pavarisa, is in the second tournament. Whether she comes or not, it's still, I guess, you know, they're invited. They're in. Chicharnagarns, either one of them are not making it to Ohio. Lexi was playing. There's a few big names. I think everyone's chomping at the bit to get in, but who shows up is a whole different story.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, again, people get their – there's different rankings for status and stuff like that. Pavarisa, and again, I'm just going off of hearsay, but yeah, just because they're in the field doesn't mean that they can't pull out yet. So
sure.
Until that final, but absolutely. And if you're in America already, which a lot of players are, a lot of caddies, it's pretty easy to shoot up there. You know, you don't have to do the quarantine, and it's just whatever. You're hopping on a plane and putting your mask on and going for it.
There was another little mini tour event for the LPGA. It was in Bella Vista, Arkansas. Never heard of this tour, but it was called the Women's All Pro Tour. You ever heard of that?
Not until today, Ronnie, but you know, LPGA's Maria Fossey went out and took the W. They're dubbing it her first professional win. So good for Maria.
Well, congratulations. Yeah, super stroker Maria Fossey. The W is a W. If you're getting a paycheck, that's a professional event. So it's good. Yeah, I'm sure it was competitive for her, and she was right in there thinking it was a major. But that's great for her.
Yeah, like you said, a win is a win. Obviously, LPGA and Women's All-Pro Tour are two different balls of wax. But, you know, it gives somebody confidence moving forward. It's a paycheck. She's an outstanding player, as we know. She's going to be standout player, I believe, in the next, you know, 5 years. She's going to mature, and she just hits it so far. She's kind of the new breed. She's like the new look of like DeChambeau on the men's tour, or like some of those like really fit guys. Like if you see Maria, she's super jacked, super fit, like really really takes care of her body and just hits it a mile and beats it.
Ball striker.
Yeah, I was actually just having this conversation where I'm staying right now. An old golf professional mentor of mine, not a pro anymore, though I think I talked about him on an earlier podcast, used to be a world long drive competitor, driving it up to 420 yards. But, you know, we just watched DJ close out the men's tournament, and he just striped it down 18, had 86 yards in. And I'm like, man, golf has changed so much, and it's kind of boring. And then I threw the stat about the DeChambeau 2 weeks ago when they were back off the break, and he hit, I don't know if it was the whole week. I'm probably wrong on this. Or like the last day, he had one of the par fours where he had more than 100 yards in. So it's a different game, man, and there's a new breed of athlete, let's put it that way. So Maria Fossey's right in that new breed of athlete.
Well, that's why a lot of the pros on the men's tour are carrying 5 wedges in the bag. They don't even hit 6-7 irons anymore. They got wedges from all different degrees because they're inside 100. That's their game, 120 and in, 150 and in.
I don't know. I played for the first time in 6 weeks a couple days ago, Ron. Smooth little 73. I only pulled the driver out of my bag 4 times. I was taking my 5-6 irons in because you know, that driver was putting it into no man's land in the houses for me with my last round. So sometimes course management can go a long ways too.
Oh, that's being a caddy. That's a caddy's brain. I'm out there 14 drivers every round, just about, you know, then some, but I love to hit it long. Here, changing the subject of, on the women's that All Pro Tour, the very first round, Maria Fassi shot a 64, and there's another girl, Emma Bruce, who shot a 64 also, but she signed for a 63 and then got disqualified. With all the technology nowadays, do you believe a DQ is a good penalty for that, or can you just tell her, hey, you know, correct that and let's move on?
Here we go. I know this is Ronnie's gonna not take the same stance as me. He's just a longtime competitor and a longtime golf professional. And maybe we come back to this argument of, you know, like the how it's always been talk, right? Like, you should be able to mark your score down, add up your score, and keep it. And there, I think some tradition has to be there. Like, I mean, this isn't grade school.
Well,
I've never done it.
Changing traditions left and right. What happened to the old feather golf ball that didn't go up 150 yards? They're changing stuff left and right. There's so many different people. You got a scorer out there walking with you. I don't know about on that women's All Pro Tour if they've got standard bearers. I doubt it. They probably have a scorer. I don't think you have to keep your own score. You should be able to look at a leaderboard and they should keep your score. Sure. So I made a mistake.
You read your own putts. Why can't you keep your own score? And if you changed that rule, would you go back in time and have to rewrite all the people that came before them who signed a wrong scorecard?
There were two rules in golf: play it where it lies, and what's the other one? Play it where it lies, and I guess count every stroke. That's it. So she made
actually
a mistake. She made him. What's the other one?
There's 35 rules in golf, I believe.
Not way back when. Play it where it lies, wherever it lies. But I agree. They could have maybe gave her a penalty stroke, something like that. But that girl hit the wrong ball. She went on to win a tournament in that other McLean.
But what were the circumstances? So she has every situation in the, like, you go into a scoring tent afterwards. You look at your score. You trade scorecards with the person, like, because you don't keep your own score. So the person passes you the scorecard, you need
you
to double check that.
It?
Yeah, like that's 100% on her. Nobody
so
else's
I wonder
fault.
I wonder what happened. Maybe the other girl keeping the score wrote down a three instead of a four. Because if I'm shooting 63, I don't have to keep score on a scorecard. I think I would know what I'm doing. But I guess get into that there, you don't know what's going on. But I still say, hey, slap her on the wrist and let her play the second round.
That's not the rules, my friend. And let me put it this
rules.
Way. She will not make that mistake again. So there's only
that
way to
true.
Learn. There's only way to learn something. I mean, I, in a tournament as a junior, I hit the wrong ball one time. I guarantee you, I have never done that again. That was a two-stroke penalty. Another time to a Canadian tour event, I showed up late to the tee. I didn't show up past my tee time, but I showed up within the 5 minutes before disqualification. But the players had already teed off, and I never did that again. So, you know, there's only one way to learn.
I guess you're right. There was some more golf going on over in the UK, that Rose Series we talked about in the last couple pods. Did you hear anything about that or see anything?
Yeah, of course. Megan McLaren won the event this week. They're just one-day events. That's the Rose Ladies Series that we've touched on the last several weeks, which is awesome. Justin Rose and his wife stepping up. And I don't know how many events there are in a row, six to eight.
Eight total. They've had two of them so far. And ex-Solheim Cup, Charlie Hull, she won the inaugural tournament last week. I guess they play 2 days and then they play 1 day and they count the score from 1 day. I'm not real sure. I don't think it's a three-day event and all 3 days count.
Yeah, I was under the impression it was only – I can't find any information on it, to be honest. Like, there's no website.
Very little floating around. But the girl who won, McLean, she won by four strokes, her and one other girl double digits. She was 14 under. But she had a two-stroke penalty on the 11th hole today. She hit the wrong ball.
Yeah, well, she won't do that again. There, again, right? Sometimes there's got to be a like. I get it, traditions and, you know, wearing shorts on the men's tour and stuff like that. But at some point, we've got to preserve. There's got to be some sort of perseverance, you know, to tradition, right? So, You know, especially hitting the wrong ball. We know we can't do that, right? But we should find out some more, you know, talk to, I know Gemma Driesberg maybe finished fourth or something this week. I could reach out to her and get some more information on this tour. Cause yeah, when you look at it online, it says it's a one-off women's professional tour supported by the Roses, and it's only going to be this year potentially, or there's nothing moving forward on that and no website. So,
does one-off mean it's a one-day tournament?
I think it meant like it's just this one year of tournament so far, from my understanding, but maybe it meant one day. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought I heard they play a couple of days, and the third day is the final day, and that's the only score they count. I don't know. Like I said, it's hard to find information on it, but at least the girls, the ladies are getting reps out there. So
somebody listening to this podcast, email us.
Let us know.
Letstalkdivots@gmail.com and stir up some information on us. We'd appreciate that.
Yeah, that would be nice. We should get some facts before we get into this, but hey, we're having a good time out here. We're having a good time, man. We want some of you listeners out there to jump on board and contact us. Let us know what you guys want. When we get out there inside the ropes, I guarantee we will get some players in the rig here, interviewing them live, and it'll be fun. But you'll have a blast.
Oh man, well, obviously we've had lots of guests already, and that's no issue, but yeah, it's you're not going to watch the men's golf till later, but yeah, DJ pulled it out for his 21st win on tour, and just to throw that into perspective, he just passed Greg Norman and Davis Love III for wins all time. So when you just look at somebody's career that just has been a phenomenal career and a phenomenal athlete, like, that's to pass those types of names, and that's just what I heard on the fly there. I think there was a couple more in there that I was like, oh wow, like DJ is the man, and he's won every single year on tour since he's been there, so,
which is 13 years. Tiger has had a streak of 14 years with the record, I believe, is Jack Nicklaus at 18 years with at least one win on tour. So DJ's right there, 13. That guy's incredible. He keeps on going.
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool to watch. And the nerves were out there again as well. I listened to his press conference afterwards, and he said the nerves are still there, even without the crowds. Watched him hit one out of bounds on like hole 14, and then hit one in the hazard on hole 15. And yeah, he was getting jittery down the stretch. So
my local San Diego man, Phil Mickelson, he was our leader after 36 holes. And yes, I think maybe one under, sat at 12 under. And today I haven't watched anything yet, but I guess he didn't come back from six down.
Yeah, no, he didn't. You know, one of our Canadian guys, Mackenzie Hughes, was in there as well. But, you know, Phil's always going to be, he's going to be up there a bunch more before the end of his career. Who knows if he'll get the whole 4 days done. You know, he's so explosive, but also has those, you know, lacks a bit of consistency as well, but always awesome when lefties in the mix. And he's in the U.S. Open and later in this year as well. And that was a bit of a question mark to start the year. So,
yeah, that was amazing. I heard that last week that he wasn't in the U.S. Open yet. And yeah, they could give him an invite if they wanted to, but he said he wouldn't take it. He wanted to earn his way in. So does this get him in by top 10? Was he top 10 this week?
Well, things are really confusing in the women's game as well, and I'll touch on what I mean. Like, in the men's game, what happened is the USGA ended up freezing the rankings and the money, you know, due to all this COVID. So where he stood back whenever is where the cutoff was, and he ended up getting in. And, you know, for instance, on the women's tour as well, like, doesn't matter what happens this year, and that's why we're not in the British and like can't get in the British without a top five in Ohio, is because there just hasn't, they've frozen everything. They've frozen the official world golf rankings. They've frozen any ways to move up into, you know, they'll have reshuffles, Ron, which you know about. And for the listeners, a reshuffle is that the season goes for their 30 events throughout the year, but every, let's call it 10 events, so three times a year, they reshuffle. So depending how you've done in those amount of events, you can actually improve your status moving forward. So Kelly and I had a pretty good start to the year, and we should have been reshuffling up right now, but we just haven't, and we're just hanging on to the status as is until 2021. So that means no new Symetra players can come up. Nobody can go down. Everything's just frozen till the end of next year.
Well, I'm glad to see Phil in the U.S. Open. I'm going to drop a Benjamin on him to win it because I know he's got the Grand Slam in him. All he needs is that one. So props for him to get it done this week and earn his way onto the U.S. Open.
It's all about the Benjamins, baby. Well, speaking of dropping Benjamins, I won't ask you who we're going to drop Benjamins on for the inaugural Ohio event. I think we'll save that for a later date. But plans moving forward, I guess we're all up in the air on the wet paper napkin.
That's right. Can fall out from under us any minute now. Won't even be, well, we'll probably get that one done. And then the next one, who knows, see how it goes. It'll be interesting. A lot of reshuffling going out there with the caddies, I bet, too. There's a lot of them not going to make it down. You, Schmitty, who else is up there north of the border here?
Again, I've talked to just a handful of guys, but all of my buddies seem to be international, and they're all doing the same thing that I have chosen to do. And it's just, again, they're just hanging out and going to start in Canada or Arkansas or wherever for the last little rush of the year. And then, you know, I don't know, man, it's just there's so many what ifs. What a crazy time.
So only 71 from America qualify for the British Open. What is it in years past? Would more ladies go over there?
Good question, Ron. I don't actually know. I read 80. Kelly told me 70, because when Kelly and I started talking about this, about me not coming down, she actually called Vicky. I don't know Vicky's last name, but works in the LPGA, to just see where she ranks and how to get in, et cetera, et cetera. And she said the top 70 from the LPGA were getting in. We're on 86 on the money list, because they just give a ton of spots to the LET players, because it is a European tour, sure, sanctioned event. So they really want to showcase that. That's kind of how that works.
Well, tournaments can't get here soon enough. July 27th, the first one, is a 3-day event. Casey won't be there. That's going to be a bummer, but I'm going to make the drive, I believe, from California.
Never say never, man. Let's keep that one on the back burner. We'll report next week with any new information, and hopefully we have some stuff to give you. We're working into tournament time, and we will get there. I want to get live on location, but for right now, we're just doing what we're doing. So, Ronnie, awesome to see you, brother, and chat again
you
soon.
You too. All right, well, try to get out there. Now that you're not working, you've done your 31 out of 35 days. You're off work for a little while, no more making the PPEs. You know, your country must be well stocked by now. So get out there and play some golf. Go chase that wet ball.
All right, brother. We'll chat later, man. Ciao. Later.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Let's Talk Divots podcast. We are at Let's Talk Divots on all social media platforms. Go ahead, like us, share us, comment on any of our posts, and we will definitely communicate. We want some interactions, and let us know how we're doing. We appreciate you. We appreciate you listening. And we'll see you next week for another great show.